chapter 5 is where we're at. But Proverbs chapter 5, I've taken sometimes a week or two on these Proverbs, and I'm probably just going to pull one scripture out of Proverbs chapter 5 and spend most of my time still in Proverbs chapter 4. And then perhaps we'll jump to 6, because Proverbs 5 has a very severe warning about adultery. But if I think as we go through and you realize what Proverbs is teaching about the matters of our heart, that is not going to be an issue for you, because sin is a heart issue. And if we get our hearts right, there are other things that are peripheral sins that could happen. Definitely they could happen. But I think you'll understand what I'm talking about today. I can tell you this with 100% clarity in my life, how that God has for years been dealing with me personally about a line in his in my life, a line, and how to stay on the correct side of that line. It's called boundaries, folks, and God loves us enough to give us boundaries. And when I was a youth pastor, I was a youth pastor for 7 years, a long time ago, and during that time, I was amazed. It was the same basic question came from a lot of youth. What they wanted to know was how close to the line they could run and still go to heaven. And that's really not a line that you want to flirt with. Because if that's what's in your mind, don't worry, you're on the other side of the line. Yeah. And I need boundaries in my life. Have you ever heard that something about fences make good neighbors? I need boundaries because I need boundaries, and you need boundaries, and I'm just trying to make it simple enough to understand. We need boundaries in our life. He gives boundaries. If God gives boundaries, we should never, ever, ever ignore those boundaries, ever. There's nothing for you on the other side if he's put boundaries in your life. So let's get right into this. Beginning with chapter 4 of Proverbs and verse 20. And I'm going to read through some of these verses. And then my plan this morning is really to go backwards. I'm going to read 20 through 27. And then I'm going to go back to 18. And I'm going to go back to 14 and 15. And I'm going to go back to 11. And then I'm going to go back to 8 and 9. So we're going to be backwards this morning. So we're going to learn in a different way. Chapter 4, verse 20 says, "My son, give attention." How many? I don't want a show of hands, but I challenged you guys to read a chapter of Proverbs a day. There's 31 Proverbs. There's between 29 and 31 days in a month of most years, sometimes 28. But if you'll do it, a chapter a day, all year long, I mean, you will be, these are the wisdom chapters. These are the knowledge chapters. These are the understanding chapters. And it's changing my life to listen to this and get this into my mind over and over again. So we're going through Proverbs, and As you read this, some of these, like, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings." When you hear that, you're going to hear that over and over again. Not because he's trying to be wordy, because he wants you to get it. He wants you to see the boundaries and to get this inside of you so that you know these things. "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." That was all last week talking about that. We don't get a break With all diligence means you don't get to take time off taking care of your heart. Put away from you a deceitful mouth. That word is translated to a devious. And put perverse lips far from you. He's dealing with your mouth. He's dealing with your lips. He's dealt with your eyes and your ears and your heart. And now he says your mouth, your lips. Keep perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Hear this. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your feet from evil. In other words, know where you go. Know where you're headed. Know where you're going. So I want to go back to verse 18 from there. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter into the perfect day. Okay? So he's warning us and telling us about the path that we are supposed to be on and the path that we take. And that our path is different from an unbeliever's path. Once we come into the light of God, we're supposed to be learning more and learning just like the sun that rises every day. We're supposed to be learning more, and the path is shining brighter and brighter and brighter. And understanding is coming. How to function in this life. Wisdom is just this. It is skilled knowledge and taking that knowledge and applying it to my life. So I should be better the longer that I serve the Lord. Put away from you a deceitful way. Put perverse lips from you, far from you. Go up to verse 14 and 15. Do not enter the path of the wicked. I love this. And do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it and pass on. I mean, that's instruction after instruction after instruction. But he's saying the same thing. It would almost be like someone trying to explain to you a stop sign, but just saying, it says stop. So it means stop. So don't go any further when you come to one. It's red. It's got eight sides to it. It's got white lettering. S-T-O-P. It means stop. It doesn't mean go. It doesn't mean try. It doesn't mean take a chance. It means stop. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's telling this to us about our eyes, our ears. We've called them already what they are, what the Bible calls them. They're gates. What gets into your mind comes through your eyes most of the time. And if it didn't come through there, it came through your ears or a combination of the both. And he says, watch it for your eyes. Watch out for your ears. Watch out for your mouth and your lips. And watch out for your feet. He's saying, watch out, watch out, watch out. And then he says this about our path. Do not enter the path of the wicked. So you know what that means? It'll be an option. When you get saved, God doesn't just close all the enemy's doors. You got to recognize the path that he has for you. Psalm 23 says it like this. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me. He leads me beside still waters. He leads me in paths of righteousness. Why? For his name's sake. We think everything that God does for us is because he loves us. There's some things that God does for you. They're not because he loves you. They're for his name's sake. Because there is a principle involved, and it's his principle. And if you walk in his path, you get his blessing. But if you go outside of his path, you get whatever's waiting on you on the other side. And I promise you, most of the time, you're not ready for what's waiting on you on the other side. Because you have an enemy. Look at your neighbor and say, you have an enemy. Yes, you do. Tell him, you've got an enemy. And you better watch for him. He's looking for a chance. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. turn away from it, and pass on. Verse 11. I have taught you in the way of wisdom. I have led you in right paths. You don't end up in a bad place with God. You might end up in an uncomfortable place with God. But you just hold on. God's okay with you being uncomfortable for a little bit. God's okay with you being uncomfortable for a little bit. I've got something that I want to get across to you. And it's very important. Let me do this first. I gave you guys this. I told you this last week, but water, fresh water. Fresh water. And this is going to be our water flow. And the water's going this way. Fresh water, you know, if it goes long enough, if it flows long enough, it will run into the ocean. You know that? And the ocean is salt water. And as the fresh water gets closer and closer and closer to the ocean, we'll call this the beach. But there's a area of water between the salt and the fresh, and it is called brackish. I think I spelled it right. Brackish. So this water that's flowing this way goes so far, and then the salt water that's out there comes back and mixes for just a little bit. And what can happen in that brackish water is that the freshwater fish can live a little while. And then they recognize, I've got to go back to the fresh. And then the saltwater fish, they can live a little while. I've heard of reports of even sharks coming up. And they're like, we're surprised we saw a shark come up so far. But that shark has to go back because he's not built to live here. Brackish water is this right here. Mixture. And that's what I want to get across to you this morning. I started talking about that the last time that I preached mixture. And when I got to mixture, I felt it in this room. I felt the environment change. I felt the atmosphere shift. Because that is a real thing for every believer. It is a real thing. I don't care how thick your Bible is on Sunday morning. I don't care how nice you wear, or how nice a clothes that you wear. Mixture is something that you're going to face and you're going to fight. Because I don't care how holy we get and separated unto God, we still live in this fleshly body, and it's going to be a battle every day of your life because the Bible says it's going to. And you get to decide who wins. His Spirit lives inside of you. His Spirit that's on the inside of you is stronger than the flesh that you live in, even though you have a heavy pull on your flesh. It is possible to win, but this area right here is where we lose so much in the body of Christ, because it is impossible to have mixture without having dilution. Impossible to have mixture without having dilution. And you, If you allow mixture in your life, you will sabotage your own purpose in this life. Let me put it like this. People won't believe what you say anymore. You can say it all you want to. And you can be right in what you say. But your delivery messed it out. And who you are will either help people or hinder people. I can't make it much nicer than that. A damaged package makes you question the content. I wrote that down. That's a good statement. A damaged package makes you question the content. I know some of y'all, all of y'all, get deliveries on your front porch, don't you? A damaged package will make you question the content. I've got stuff that I order, doesn't mean much to me. It can come just about any old way. But when I've paid good money for something, and the box comes jacked up looking like that, I'm like, I'm questioning the content. Somebody done stole it, but I feel the weight of, okay, they didn't steal it, but they messed it up. And it, have y'all got back? That looks like a good box sometimes. It looks like they gave it to fake wrestling and they practiced their elbow smashes with it. That's what it looks like to me. A damaged package makes me question the content. You know what I've done? I've taken my phone when I get a package like that, and it looks like there's a poisonous snake on the front porch. I get my phone and I start taking pictures of it every angle, because I know they're supposed to take a picture of how it looked when they dropped it off. But I'm gonna take a picture of how it looked when I received it. Because I want to know that my content is okay, because this is bound for the trash. This is headed to the trash. But a damaged package makes me question the content, and it does you too, right? Delivery matters. How you say it matters. When he's talking about our mouth and our lips, what we say matters. Now, I've told you guys that this, I've been very careful, especially the last couple of years. Preachers listen to preachers, at least I do. I feed y'all. I need to get fed. And I've had some voices that I have appreciated, but the Lord showed me, you're appreciating too much because you're listening to them more than you're listening to me. So I've left it alone. I still like them. I still love them. I still pray for them. But I'm not listening to them. And I've been listening to the Lord. And just in the past couple of weeks, there's been a couple of opportunities for me to listen. And I've heard some guys saying something. And I've heard some guys saying something that I've been saying. And I haven't been listening to anybody. But I'm saying it. And they're saying, and what they're saying is making me think, Lord, you're speaking, because some of us are saying the same thing. And I believe that our voice is supposed to be a clarion voice. I believe that my life in front of you should not be, yeah, I think what Pastor John said sounds good, but you know, he says just about any, he talks any old way outside of church, and it makes me really, should I be listening to him? Should I be looking for another church? The packaging matters. And I promise you, if I am not careful with my mouth, I know y'all love me, but it would affect the relationship as far as me being able to speak into your life. Can I tell you that happens for you, each other too? And the people, I expect it to get really quiet in here. But this word is for us. It matters what comes out of our mouths. And what I'm hearing preachers talk about lately that I've been listening is preachers using profanities in the pulpit. Because we already figured out that we can't be relevant unless we got holes in our pants and smoke in the room and lights coming down and some thumping music. And that's the only way y'all are going to hear God. Right? Except for these stories that we hear about somebody about to take their life in a hotel, and there's that Bible right there, and it happens to fall open, happens to the scripture that they needed that speaks to them. And get this on Ripley's, believe it or not. No smoke, no loud music, no lights, none of that, and they still got saved and turned their life to God. And nobody had to cuss at them to prove that they were relevant. Because anytime there's mixture, dilution is taking place. He watches over his word to perform it. The problem is not his word. The problem is not his packaging. I'm holding you right now a very expensive Bible, the nicest Bible I've ever owned. Goat skin leather. Man, that dude right there, he knows where to go. It's like driving a Bentley, and I've never driven one. I don't even know if they drive good. But that Bible right there means a lot to me. But I promise you, I could let that one go before I let this one go. You know why? That thing's a mess, isn't it? My dog ate the backside. I didn't read it till the cover fell off. My dog ate the backside of that. And he got another one, too, just in the same place. I guess that's the tastiest part of the Bible, is the back cover, the lower portion. I don't know. But I've written all in this one, and I've read it, and I study out of it, and I bring this one because it looks nice. But I end up preaching out of this one because it's smart the way I like it. You know why? There's no question of content. It doesn't matter about the package. There's no question of content. You see that? The one verse that I was going to give you out of chapter 5 says this, verse 21, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all his paths." And he ponders all his paths. That word ponders means that he observes all of our paths. And it's got another meaning. That word ponders also means he weighs all of our paths. He's already said, "I give you a path. I've set a path before you. I lead you. I lead you in paths of righteousness. Don't take any other paths." So when God is pondering my path and God is observing my path and God is weighing my path, sometimes God has a question for me. What are you doing over there? That's not my path. Why should it concern me that he ponders my path? Well, you might have missed it, but we just read it a second ago. 4:26, "Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established." 5:21, "And he ponders all his paths." You should ponder your path because he's pondering your path. And it matters. Chapter 15, verse 3 says this, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Why would he keep eyes on the evil and the good? Because he keeps his eyes on me. And he keeps his eyes on us. Otherwise, he wouldn't see us all the time. But he does. I should ponder my path. I should observe my path. I should weigh my path. God gets the blame for me leaving the path. When I ponder, instead of pondering the path, here's what we do. We ponder the circumstance. How could this happen? We observe the circumstance. We weigh the circumstance. When we shouldn't be looking at all this, we should just be looking at the path. Because that path should match that circumstance. Yes, amen. That's good preaching. If I am observing this path, and if I am established in this path, and if I am observing this path and weighing this path and understanding that God's eye is on this path and he has established this way and he is observing this path and me on it and he's weighing me on this path, it really shouldn't matter when I look up. Then I just ask him, why am I here? Why am I here, God? Because you've either got me here or you don't. You've either got me here or I've got me here. Either way, it's a time to talk to God about it. Brackish Waters mixture. The choice is ours. That involves my feet. That involves my eyes. That involves my ears. But I think what matters as much as anything is my mouth and my lips. I don't know what it is right now that's going on in the earth from pulpits where ministers are feeling like they need to get your attention by saying a foul word. Yeah, come on. I don't care how much our church grows. I hear Pawpaw, she's coming. It's you and me, buddy. Well, here's why. I'm carrying around something completely pure and completely innocent and completely a gift from God. And right now, she can pick Pawpaw out of a crowd. And she loves her Pawpaw. Oh, yeah, you love Pawpaw. You love Pawpaw, and Pawpaw loves you. And right now, she's looking at me in a way that I wish I could report to you. She's always going to look at me that way, but one day she'll figure out Pawpaw's not perfect, right? It's part of my boundaries. It's right here. Part of my boundaries right here. I'm holding some of my boundaries right here. There's some more of my boundaries right there. I picked them both up. I said, 1, 2, 3, and he jumped up on me. And I walked them all, both around church this morning while they were doing their worship practice. And these are what helped keep me in line. Just like you did. And just like you did. And just like Kenzie did, and just like you do. What will cause me to lose ground with them will probably, I will probably lose more ground with them through my mouth and my lips than through anything else I could do. Yeah. Yeah. I think she gets it. I can't make this any more simple than it is. But this isn't how much the pastor can pray for you and how much we can agree. This is you saying, I don't have room for mixture in my life. How in the world have, I think it's just perfect that we've got the Gideons here today. How have we gone from the power of the God of God's holy word to how cool I can make it sound to you? If that's what it's going to mean to be a preacher, I'm telling you, I'll get out quick. I will get out quick. It'll be so quick. Y'all see me serving hamburgers, flipping hamburgers at McDonald's. And they say, Pastor John. I say, no, employee John. I don't do that anymore. If that's what it means, if that's what we're supposed to do, I ain't doing it. But that's not just a Sunday thing. That's a Monday through Saturday thing. That's a 24/7. And that responsibility falls on me. Hey, you know what? I could start making an excuse for anything coming out of my mouth. And you could too. But the truth is, he just said it in his word. Out of the heart flow the issues of life. What comes out of you, it was in there. I don't care how bad it hurt when the hammer hit, and I'm not even talking about that. I'm talking about what comes out of you easily as a part of your conversation. Guys, it's already in the pulpit, and it's comfortable there. It's comfortable there. Everybody will laugh. You know what it means? The Lord, you have no idea. Am I telling the truth how much the Lord has cautioned me about making jokes? I make jokes. I love to make jokes. But the Lord has cautioned me about making jokes. You know why? Because jokes are what is used to massage things in on you. You don't believe it? The homosexual culture. Y'all remember the first kiss, Ellen DeGeneres to a woman on television, shook the world. Now, the funniest person on the sitcom is the homosexual. Why? Because if I can make you laugh, I can massage it in on you. Don't let it get tight in here. This is the Lord's house. And that right there, we're the ones laughing at it. I'm telling you, mixture has gotten in. King David said this. King king. King, the king said this. He said, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord. You know what that meant? And this was after David had been very, very, very bad. The doorkeeper was the one who stood on the threshold in the temple between the Holy of Holies and the common places. Because there had to be a separation. And no one could just cross over that line. Because the doorkeeper, they actually took shifts. And it was a guarded position. Because there had to be a separation between the holy and the common. And there is still. There's still a separation. And God's not laughing about it. And you would think David, after he messed up, and is he just saying, I still love God enough to, if I could just get a job, if I could just work at the temple. He said, no, particularly, I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Because truly, who would recognize a difference between the holy and the common? Who would recognize that better than David, who had messed up? I'm asking you this morning to take your position as doorkeeper of your heart, doorkeeper of my heart, separation between the holy and the common. Yeah, you're still going to live in this flesh, but I want everyone to see it. You're still going to have mixture to deal with. But what is in the fresh water needs to stay in the fresh water. And what's out here needs to stay there. Because if it gets in here too long, it dies. It dies. You can't afford for that place in me to die. That's what I said earlier about his word. It goes to the dead places. It goes to the dead places. I spoke to you last week about judgment. God gave me that as I was standing here about judgment. He said it's coming to the house of the Lord. But why would he judge us with something now? And we know that eternal judgment is coming. So why would he give judgment? And then he's going to give judgment. Because this judgment, final judgment, is eternal. But this judgment right here, just like he told the seven churches, he found fault in five of those churches. He's telling you, you've got some things wrong. You're doing some things right, but you're doing some things wrong. And you got this going on, and I'm telling you to clean it up. That's why he would judge it. Because it is a picture of his mercy to judge us. Because why would we fix something if we don't even know it's wrong? And mixture is wrong. Mixture's wrong. And you heard it, but you know it. Somebody telling you something is wrong is usually not even news to you. But when it makes your chest and your heart beat, and your fingertips get white, it's time for something to change. You're the doorkeeper. You're the doorkeeper. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the strength of your word. Thank you that our ears have heard it today. God, your word demands a decision. And we are people that without your word alive inside of us, we're going to make wrong decisions. It is your plan and your will for the freshness of you inside of us to flow all the way outside of us. But there is a conflict in our hearts and a conflict in our minds when we allow mixture in. Lord, you've called us out of things not to return to the things that you've called us out of, and not to play around and not to have mixture. Lord, I pray for the flow of you inside of us and the well inside of us, that it would come back to purity. Back to purity. Can you just ask him, like, God, bring me back to purity. Help me to guard my eyes, my ears, my feet, my mouth, my lips. Help me to keep my eye on the established path of righteousness that you have for me in this earth. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.